Mr. President, members of council, this morning I have one wastewater agreement for your consideration. That is Sussex County Project 81-04 at Carillion Square, and that's agreement number 987. In this case, the developer is Mr. Robert Sipple of Garnet Valley, Pennsylvania. The location of the service will be 575 feet south of intersections with Route 24. This will become part of the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District. The service here will be for 14,673 square feet, which is a new Rite Aid pharmacy. Sewer connection charges total $18,555. We do have approvals from both our engineering department as well as DENREC, and we're expecting approximately 45 days of construction, with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $11,845.31, with proposed construction cost of $78,968.75.
Motion, sir.
I do have a motion, sir. Yep. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 987, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Lighthouse Carillion LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Carillion Square, located in the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District.
Entertained a motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
John Ashman. Good morning.
Good morning. John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. Morning, this is for the SR 26 Phase 3 public hearing. As you know, the engineering department held a public hearing on Thursday evening, January 24th at the Millville Town Hall. The meeting was not well attended, not sure whether it was weather or whatever, and we told you that we were going to repost and hold a second public hearing.
Speak up again. She had a good lady here who needs to pull it up. That. Forget the one of them, just get one reposted.
There you go.
I'm glad somebody else has that problem, not just me.
Excuse me. We mailed a letter to all of the property owners that were in our proposed boundary, and we reran our ad in the Wave newspaper, and several other papers reported the information, and I believe at least one radio station. We held the second public hearing on Thursday, March 7th at the Millville Town Hall, and there was still a small but better turnout than we had the first meeting. We explained the boundaries, the proposed infrastructure, the estimated rates, the historical background, and a proposed schedule. And we had actually a very good question and answer period this time. At the end, Mr. Izzo asked a show of hands for people that supported the proposed expansion, and a vast majority of those in attendance were in favor, and a show of hands that those that were not in favor. My quick guess was 2 to 3 hands in the audience, and with that, we closed the meeting. Afterwards, we were approached by many people present with individual questions on properties that they owned or stuff that they didn't want to bring up in front of the meeting. And one couple that we talked to was outside of our proposed boundary, but was desirous of being included in the expansion. And they have submitted an email expressing that interest. And their property is this crosshatch property up here on Irons Lane. When we had our first meeting, we had gained interest from the two owners of these properties to be included as well. That's why they are crosshatched. They were not in our original boundary. And immediately upon receiving permission to post, we received a letter from the owner of these two parcels to be included in our boundary. So we've proposed to include those as well. Also, we received from this small crosshatch property here, which I can't hold that steady. He owns the parcel in the front and would like to have the parcel in the back included as well, and can be served by the Murray Road, which is basically a non-used Del Dot Road. And it's been kind of busy around here. The green property that you see up here is Wingate Court, We've also received emails from four properties in that Wingate Court to be included in the district as well. We did not highlight them in yellow because they were not invited to the public hearing. We know that one of them got information, but we don't know what information the other three got. At this point in time, we would not be putting infrastructure up that road as part of the DLDOT work, but we could go out and do that as a small project to connect the homes along Irons Lane from this point forward, and we'll probably do a small in-house project for down here in Howard Manor. Our proposal is definitely to bring in everything that is in the yellow with the red cross hatched. The white areas that you see right here would present a sort of a donut hole in our boundary if we did not include those, and the same way with this little area here. We thought we'd bring that to your attention if you wanted to include them in the boundary at this time.
Why aren't they not? Why they're not included because of why? Just because nobody said
we did not include them in our original boundary because we were trying to get this stretch that we were coordinating with DLDOT. And we didn't really have any interest from up in there, no letters or no phone calls from them. But like I say, since the public hearing, we've gotten four from this green area, and this property across the street was at the public hearing.
I would think it's important to try to get sewer service to existing parcels. I mean, how much of that stuff is just vacant land that people are maybe...
We agree as well that if we're gonna do a project and come up this Irons Lane, it would be just as easy to pick up these parcels and
right.
The ones along here. But we did. That was not part of our original proposal to you.
You don't have the picture of your original proposal, do you? So that we can see.
It's everything in the yellow that does not have a red cross hatch on. So
okay.
It's just these, this one, and these, which were contiguous. So we thought it appropriate to include those since we actually had the people at the meeting and they requested to be included.
Who has the other, the franchise for the outlying areas? Is that somebody else or is that county?
This out here?
That's county. Oh,
this will eventually be Holtz Landing uh-huh. Sewer District.
But
yes, it will be county.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, there's no private servers out there.
No private down there. Okay, gotcha.
So I guess our resolution includes the yellow boundary. We would ask that it be amended to include at least the red cross hatched parcels, and your call on the Wingate Court and the other unhighlighted areas along Irons Lane.
So we're just talking about now for the public hearing that we're going to have, right? We can always make something smaller.
The public hearing. This is our recommendation for you to revise the boundary to include this.
So, but I'm just saying, if we go to the public hearing on the yellow area and leave out the white and the green that you've mentioned, it'd be difficult to get that in later. It'd be better maybe to start with the bigger, include them now, and we could pull them out.
We held the public hearing basically. We're just asking you for approval on that boundary revision at this point in time.
Okay, but then we still vote on that, right? Later on, right?
Today.
I don't know what to say on these donut holes and stuff like that. It just doesn't make sense. It's not really good planning to leave donut holes.
Yeah, and really, with the Route 26 project, they're not going to get service at this time, so they're not going to incur any fees right now. But if we do the small project up Irons Lane at that point in time when we would include them, then they would be charged.
Later on, it'd be easy to get them in. Okay.
And basically, this brings them into the district without them having to request it later and pay a fee to be included at this time.
I assume you've got a main going towards your green, right? And then you'll branch off as you go in anyway.
Probably. With the DLDOT project, we'll have a stub coming up Irons Lane, and when we come back in with this small project, we'd probably extend up Irons Lane as far as we could get. But we definitely have enough
so
to get up to.
So you can branch off later.
Yep.
So it's being done during the DLDOT construction.
This part on Irons Lane would not be done as part of the DLDOT work.
Right.
Because they're not working in that road,
mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't have them go that far.
And so you know, from the bigger Millville project, which has been the project that never ends, we still have loan and grant money that we are transferring over to this. They're letting us keep it alive. So when we did Contract F, which kind of wrapped up Millville and realized we had some more left, and DLDOT was doing the road, and they won't get it as cheap as they're going to get it right now, that's for sure.
How many property owners are in the donut holes, for lack of a better term?
Can't hear.
How many property owners are in the donut holes, for lack
there would
of
be the
term?
This parcel is basically land hook. This is one parcel. This is a separate parcel. So two as far as this half of the what we call the donut hole, and then there would be five other parcels on the west side of Irons Lane.
Are they aware? Were they at the public hearing?
Were these five, as far as we know, were not at the public hearing.
Were they notified?
No.
No.
And does that go outside of our normal process of putting people in without at least notification and allowing them to come to express themselves at a public hearing?
Normally we do not, unless it's like this case where the donut hole is. Sometimes they are included. Normally we prefer that they be notified and be on our proposed boundary, and some of them just show up and ask to be added to the boundary. These did not.
They were not even asked. I guess no. I'd prefer them to be notified.
And that's fine. That's why we didn't actually just go ahead and try to promote that as being an option.
Is it better to go ahead and improve what you have and then notify them and come back later?
We could do that. We would have to go through the posting process again,
right.
and they would have to pay then the fee for district expansion.
And we're under a time frame right now, right, to do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's the other problem.
Could you? It sounds like there's only seven or so. Could you notify them this week and get back with us with a report?
We could make an attempt at that.
Maybe next week, and if they all agree, or
you meet next week, correct? Okay.
When is the deadline on your?
Probably next week. Usually, I give myself 1 week of deferral time from.
When yeah, I mean that makes sense to try to give them a personal attempt to try to bring them in, I guess.
Yeah, we were actually surprised. I mean, most of these requests from Wingate Court came in late Friday, and some came in Sunday.
Yeah. Well, could I make a motion to defer 1 week while Mr. Ashman attempts to notify those that we are considering adding?
And how about in Wingate? How about in the green there, Vance? The green is a subdivision, right? Wingate?
Yeah, it's Wingate Court. We already have emails from probably four out of, I think it's eight or nine.
Mm-hmm. Is that all there is in the whole community, eight or nine people?
Yeah, it's not very big.
I would suggest we contact them because that is a subdivision, and if they've got issues, they could get the sewer service at this time.
Yeah, and one of the ladies in there, I think, is the lady that's circulating having the other people call us because they all seem to be relating back to her name. So apparently there is an issue out there.
We have time to, we have a week.
We have a week.
We so we have, a, we have a motion to defer it for 1 week.
Yes.
Put it back on the
second.
Agenda next week. Do I have a second, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
And the reason is to?
To defer to allow him time to contact those people that are in the donut hole, as he referred to,
and the green.
And that in the green area.
Okay.
To see if they want to come in the district or not.
And emails are preferred, and we will come back with a map highlighting which ones.
Who responded
mm-hmm. and how they responded.
We'll take a motion. We'll take a vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
So, yes, motion carries. So, next week on the agenda, you come back with the answers and we'll move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Rodney Marble, Assistant Director of Environmental Services.
Employee of the Year.
Year, isn't it?
Yes, he is Employee of the Year.
Last year, or was that
yeah.
this year? What year was it?
I was every year.
It was the past year.
I can't wait till the year's over.
He's in the running again this year, though, too.
He's in the running?
We're proposing to recommend a, you've got me confused now, to award the bid for some sewer reline work in South Bethany. We're have four streets on the canal side, concrete pipe. We're getting infiltration in during storms especially. We're seeing a lot of, we can tell by the pumps running and the pump run hours and that type of thing. We've gone in, cameraed it, found we're getting some infiltration in. We'd like to go in and reline the pipes. We've got several at least one decent price out of it, and we're well below budget. So
it's way below budget. You sure they know what they're doing?
They have done. They gave us the original price. We called them and said we have 1,200 feet. What would your base bid be? And they came back with the 180 that we put in the budget. They came down. They did our last reline project. They know what they're getting into. So I'm fairly confident that they can do the job.
Have they done this type of work before?
Yes, ma'am.
For us. Where did they? Where
yes, ma'am, for us.
Uh-huh. Okay, and they were good. It was good work. Okay.
Yes, I have no complaints. Uh-huh.
Explain what they do. What do they do? They just go in, inside of the existing
first,
pipe?
Real quick, they take, run a tractor down, they camera everything.
Mm-hmm.
They come back, they clean it. They count all the laterals and so forth that are coming in. They run a fibrous type material, looks like an inside out sock. They pull that through, pump it full of steam and or hot water, depending on what process they want. It expands to fit the nooks and crannies. After it hardens after a period of time, and they may have to do some bypass pumping with the customers, they come back through with another tractor that has a, for lack of a better word, a Dremel tool on it. It goes back out, grinds out the bumps where it's sealed up into it. Then after that's done, they'll come back in and use another procedure, kind of like an inside-out blood pressure cuff. They insert it. They inject a chemical grout around the pipe that seals it, makes for a smooth connection. Come out. They will then video it again for us at the end of the project so that we can have a copy of it and go from there.
So what size of pipe are we talking about?
Oh, so, you know, I think it's 8-inch. Some of it's 10. It's 8, yes.
Primarily 8.
Yes. We've got so much.
And they're going to charge 60-some thousand?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
For how long? How long is this pipe?
Approximately 1,200 feet.
Hmm. When can they do it? It's not going
to... I've got to... I would prefer to be done by May 14th. That's South Bethany's get out of Dodge.
$5 date. A foot. Yeah. $5 a foot for cleaning. And how... And what is the main purpose of this? I mean, other than cleaning, what is the reason?
It's good.
To keep infiltration, keep leaking. Salt water from coming in.
Yeah,
we're not leaking out because we're not under pressure. But when we get storms and the tides come up, water comes in.
Yeah.
And then we have to pump it, treat it, and...
We better put a check valve on it.
Well, it's concrete pipe. It'd be a little difficult.
Check valves for those too, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But
any more questions, Mr. Marble? You have a motion, sir.
I do, sir. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Engineering Department, that Sussex County Project 12-29 South Bethany Sewer Line Renovation be awarded to the lowest responsive bidder, Tri-State Grouting LLC of Baird, Delaware, at the base bid of $66,000.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
We ask motion carried.
Thank you,
sir. Sheriff Jeff Christopher.
Good morning, Honorable Counsel.
Good morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, appreciate your time allotted for me this morning. My purpose for my visit is single-fold this morning, and is to request the purchase of an updated software system currently used for civil process in the Sheriff's Office. We have a system now that is 11 years old. Estimated time of installation was 2001. We've had six crashes to that system in as many months. We are starting to lose data, and we're concerned about the situation that it will present in the future. The new processing system that we have assessed and looked at is currently in use by Kent and Newcastle counties. The system is called Soft Code Civil Processing System. The following reasons for it would be improvement of productivity, recovering of backup systems that we currently have none because of what we've got now is unsupported completely. Nobody can work on that system. Nobody knows where it came from. Nobody comes in to manage it. In fact, we've called IT each and every time. They've come to look at it, and they cannot identify any aspects of being able to maintenance or and basically go inside and fix it. So we are losing it. This particular system was looked at by members of the staff and the IT system in Kent County, I believe it was. They assessed that this particular system would suffice for a long period of time for what we've got right now happening in the way of activity. We looked at another system about a year and a half ago, and the lowest price we could get adjusted in that system was about $130,000, which currently is in use by EOC. This particular system also is more acclimated to the type of civil process that we need. The application cost, as it was presented to me, is $78,153.80 for all the hardware installation, office mobile units, and training, as well as warranty. I think it's the best system that we can to upgrade for what we've got right now. We need to keep track of the sheriff's sales and the civil process as much as we can, and this allots and allows us to be able to interface with the mobile units out on the road, saving productivity time. It also has a live info updated immediately or upon request, whereas now we have to wait 2 or 3 days currently with the system because of the crashing in the past. It's also interfaced, or it has an interfaced accessibility by the attorneys that we deal with, and that also saves time. It can be done pretty much on an instantaneous basis. So, and again, I mentioned before, it was endorsed by Newcastle and Kent counties as my staff went up and reviewed it. I've seen the highlights of it, and it's rather impressive compared to what we have right now, because what we have right now is basically a Flintstone mobile when it comes to modern technology. The backup system alone would be something that we haven't had for the last 6 or 7 years. So data and access to be able to recover that information is very important, specifically when an attorney or member of the public wants to find out what happened a year ago or 2 years ago. We can just draw it right up instantly. Right now, it's about a 2 or 3 day process. So,
any questions, the sheriff? You have a motion, sir?
Yes. Motion that the Sussex County Council approve the purchase of this system, supported by IT. Behind me, if you have any questions for him, he's here to take those questions, basically to install and establish the system of installation of office and mobile units, and to give us the training and warranty included in that system.
I'll make a motion.
Would you, in the motion, include the price?
Yes, sir.
Yes, good.
In that
good
motion,
idea.
the amount given at 78, is that correct?
78.
$78,153.80 as proposed to me.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Colt.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Great day.
See ya.
Mr. Lank. Old business. Conditional use 1943.
Old business.
Good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you?
We have two items proposed for consideration this morning. First one being conditional use number 1943, the application of Charles L. Williams to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an automotive repair shop garage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County. On a parcel containing 1.565 acres, more or less, lying north end of Summer Place, a private road, 265 feet north of Road 291, also known as Martin's Farm Road, and being approximately 3,000 feet east of Route 5, and being identified as tax map ID 3-34, map 9, parcel 1.03. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on August 13th of 2012 and rendered their decision on October 9th or 11th of 2012. The council held public hearing on September 18th of 2012. After the public hearing on August 23rd, the commission did defer action. The application was brought up under old business on September 13th of 2012, and again, based on the amount of testimony and information we'd received, the commission again deferred action for further consideration. On October 11, 2012, the commission discussed this application again under old business. Mr. Johnson opened the floor for discussion on this application and advised the commission that he is not sure that this is a conditional use needing approval, that a lot of individuals work on vehicles as a hobby, such as restoring antique vehicles, working on race cars, etc. That if this is a business, he would oppose the use due to the location and the sharing of a driveway. that the application is not capable, or the applicant is not capable of being of working on vehicles due to a disability and is proposing to rent the building to a mechanic. And that if this were a business, the use would have a negative impact on the area. Mr. Wheatley agreed with Mr. Johnson and advised the commission that a conditional use may solve the problem, that the building has access from a shared driveway, and that the building was built as an accessory building only for the owner and not as a business. Mr. Smith agreed and advised the commission that the use of the property is in question and that the intended use exceeds a hobby. Mr. Wheatley advised the commission that this is a land use decision, not a neighbor versus neighbor popularity contest. Mr. Burton advised the commission that the commission has to look at this application as a conditional use and determine if it is an appropriate use. Mr. Ross advised the commission that the applicant can continue using the property for his personal use. Mr. Robertson, the assistant county attorney, advised the commission that the applicant allows friends and neighbors to work on their vehicles in his garage, which is still a personal use and a hobby. Mr. Johnson advised the commission that whether the application is approved or denied, some of the neighbors will continue to complain and that he does not believe that the use should be approved. Mr. Ross advised the commission that the application is approved with stiff restrictions. This may be appropriate than denying the application. Mr. Wheatley reminded the commission that it is still a land use question that must be addressed. Mr. Johnson advised the commission that the commission should not start a precedent and question how this project would impact the neighborhood, and asked that this item be moved to the end of the old business agenda for that evening. And there was a consensus of the commission to table this application to the end of the old business agenda. At the conclusion of old business, the chairman referred back to this application. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend denial of conditional use number 1943 for Charles L. Williams based on the record made at the public hearing, because he feels that the property's location in an AR1 agriculture residential district is not appropriate for an automotive repair shop, and that he bases this motion on the following reasons. One, Mr. Johnson does not want to establish a precedent that a homeowner who invites friends to his property to work on cars, street rods, race cars, etc., should require some zoning approval from Sussex County. This type of use is incidental to the primary use of the property as Mr. Williams' home, and he does not believe there is anything in the code which prohibits friends and neighbors getting together to socialize and work on their cars. Mr. Johnson does not want to establish the precedent that a conditional use is appropriate for this neighborhood. If the county approves this use as a conditional use, Mr. Johnson is concerned that some later applicant would argue that it creates a valid precedent for some type of intensive conditional use or rezoning in the area. If the applicant is not operating a business, Mr. Johnson does not want to create a conditional use just to regulate him and then run the risk of an unintended consequence that an actual business use would seek zoning approval in this area. Mr. Johnson is satisfied that the applicant understands the position he is in and the limitations that exist as to what he can do and not do on his property without further approval from Sussex County. Mr. Johnson is also satisfied that both neighbors and code enforcement officers will be monitoring the use to ensure that it does not exceed what is currently happening there. The property does not have direct access to Martin's Farm Road and uses a road which is essentially a shared driveway with a residence. In summary, this motion for denial should not be seen as putting a stop to what Mr. Williams and his friends do on the property. Instead, Mr. Johnson feels that their current activities do not necessarily require county regulations in the form of a conditional use, so the commission should not impose one upon them unless the character and nature of the use that can occur on a property by the property owner and his friends should change. Therefore, there was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried 4-1, with Mr. Ross opposed, to forward this application to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that it be denied for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 4-1.
Mr. Ross won.
Pardon?
Mr. Ross was one.
One, mm-hmm. Right.
Question would be, is Mr. Johnson's concerned about, you know, establishing, I guess, a precedent for conditional uses for friends coming over or something like that, I guess, versus also establishing a conditional use would also set a precedent for other people to use that, as in that there's already a mixed uses in the area and stuff. So are there anything else commercial close by this, or conditional uses close by this in your recollection?
There was, I don't believe it still is, a conditional use closer to Route 5 for a trucking operation, which relocated to Ellendale,
okay,
or east of Ellendale.
So there really isn't anything.
And there was
residential.
Another conditional use further to the east, going back towards Cool Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the type of use that was.
Nothing real close by this.
Nothing.
Okay. All right, I kind of understand what Mr. Johnson's trying to do.
Yeah.
How do we regulate it? I mean, if how does it, when does a certain point does it get out of hand, and a need for some kind of county observing what's going on, or in input into it, or stopping it or something? I mean, what can we do?
I think Mr. Johnson picked up on it in one of his reasons in his motion. Hate to put it on the neighbors, but he's satisfied that both the neighbors and the enforcement officers will have to monitor the use of the property to ensure that it's being used just for that purpose of the applicant and his friends and neighbors working on their own cars.
Well, it referenced, I think, something like, I don't know, 10 to 20 cars or something crazy like that. I mean, has that actually happened, where he's got 10 to 20 friends over there with cars all working on their cars some afternoon?
Not enough room for that.
According to the neighbors, there have been 10 or more cars being worked on.
How many?
10 or more, according to the neighbors.
Oh, I don't know where they could be, unless they were lined up along the driveway out to the road.
Well, you can get quite a few cars inside the garage.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Outside.
It's not that big.
Any more questions, Mr. Lang?
Did we violate them? Is that what brought this on?
It was based on complaints. We ended up citing them after doing inspections. We had made an opinion through staff and legal counsel that he was operating on his own vehicles with friends and neighbors, and it wasn't a business. And he chose to apply for the conditional use to allow him to hire a mechanic to work on vehicles.
So there was a citation. If we deny this based on the reason given by planning and zoning, we'll basically be sending a message to the inspectors that what he is doing does not violate our code, and that they should not violate him unless they can determine that he has hired professional mechanics
outside people,
and
mm-hmm.
he is working.
Or somebody's charging money there. The friends could be getting together, and somebody, their money could be changing hands, and that's probably.
Okay.
Well, is that the way it's going to go down?
It would have to, and the neighbor, and again, I hate to put on neighbors, as I just said, but the neighbors are our eyes.
Well, the neighbor
can't have somebody after all done.
The neighbor that owns part of that driveway said that if it passed, he was going to destroy it so they wouldn't be able to use that access there. Do you remember that?
Well, that parcel in the front, that shared driveway, was actually created by Mr. Williams mm-hmm. in a conveyance to the party in the front. And he retained the 50-foot right-of-way to get to his property.
So that's not in jeopardy?
He retained the easement to get to his property to the rear.
He did. Mm-hmm. But the neighbor isn't at liberty to do that,
He can't close him off from having access to his dwelling.
He can't. Okay. Good.
An easement on his property that was created for that purpose to allow for a lot in the front serving a lot in the rear.
I thought it was shared.
Well, it is shared, but it's owned by the individual. The property was conveyed to the front
mm-hmm.
parcel with a front parcel with an easement for Mr. Williams.
Right. But I thought he was going to change his part of it so that it was difficult for Mr. Williams to use it.
I don't. Then I he's getting
so.
A legal issue with.
That's what I heard.
Legal counsel because he can't close that easement.
Any more questions, Mr. Lang?
Read the title.
Well, if he doesn't.
If we'd read the title, Mr. Moore?
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an automotive repair shop slash garage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 1.565 acres, more or less, tax map ID 3-34-9-1.03.
Entertain a motion.
I make a motion to accept, to approve it.
Have a motion. Need a second.
Second.
Second, Mr. Call. A motion is second to approve conditional use 1943 as read. Any questions on the motion?
No.
We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
It's a very fine gentleman, and I really sympathize with his situation. The use, to me, it's not appropriate for the area. And I agree with the planning and zoning's decision, and for the very same reasons that they have given, I vote no.
Cole.
I'll vote to support planning and zoning's decisions, and I'll vote no.
Phillips.
I'll vote to support planning and zoning, but it's my understanding that they are voting no so that he can continue to do what he is doing. And they are hoping to avoid creating a precedent that this type of activity requires a conditional use. So I will vote no so he can continue to do what he's doing.
It's just a shop. You guys repair the cars.
In other words, if we vote no, he can still use it. Is that correct?
For his personal use and
his friends.
As a hobby with his friends and neighbors.
Now, if we vote yes, he can use it as commercial.
Yes, he would be able to go out and hire.
You've got a business if you do that.
An employee and operating a business.
Mm-hmm. It's a business.
I'm going to vote yes.
I will vote no. Motion defeated. Thank you, sir. Next is change of zone 1721.
The second item is change of zone number 1721, the application of Captain's Way Development LLC. It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from AR1 Agriculture Residential District to a GR General Residential District, RPC Residential Plan Community, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, a parcel containing 154.9 acres more or less, lying north of Route 16, south of Route 231, which is also known as Reynolds Pond Road, and 2,400 feet east of Route 226, also known as Holly Tree Road, and being identified as tax map ID 2-35, map 5, parcel 5, and 2-35, map 13, parcel 2. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on September 20th of 2012, made their decision on October 11th of 2012. Excuse me. Council held a public hearing on October 9th of 2012. On this application, as stated on September 20th, the Commission held a public hearing and did defer action for further consideration. On October 11th, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Wheatley advised the Commission this application addresses affordable housing, which is referenced in the Comprehensive Land Use Plan. Mr. Johnson advised the Commission that the application addresses transit accessibility. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the Commission recommend approval of change of zone 1721 for Captain's Way Development LLC for a change in zone from AR1 to GRRPC based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this project represents the same site plan that received preliminary subdivision approval from the Commission on March 23, 2006. GR zoning is appropriate for this site since the purpose of the GR zone is to provide for medium density residential use, including manufactured housing. This site with the RPC overlay and proposed infrastructure meets that purpose. Three, with the conditions placed upon this project, the RPC designation is appropriate for this parcel of land. The purpose of an RPC is to encourage large-scale development as a means to create superior living environments and the use of design ingenuity while protecting existing and future use. 4, this project promotes affordable housing in Sussex County, and the applicants have explained that it is in an area where suitable infrastructure for such housing exists or will be constructed, such as public transportation routes and central water and sewer. 5, the project is in close proximity to a developing area according to the Sussex County Land Use Plan and is near the towns of Milton and Ellendale. 6, as this commission determined in 2006, the project will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or the community, and substantial buffers have been established along the Nature Conservancy boundary and other adjacent properties. 7, the project promotes the housing element of the county's comprehensive plan. One of the plan's goals is to provide housing for all Sussex County residents, and particularly workforce housing and housing for lower and moderate income county residents. The plan also supports manufactured housing as proposed by the applicant in an affordable housing alternative. 8, the project is located along Route 16, which is recognized by DLDOT as a major collector road. It also is in close is close by an existing mobile home park and gas station, and which are compatible with the GR zoning and a proposed RPC development. 9, although this is a change in zone application, the proposed use remains a subdivision. Mr. Burton is satisfied that the applicant has addressed all the items of Section 99-9C of the subdivision code. 10, the reduced setbacks proposed by the applicant are appropriate for this project. They will permit alternating home placements within the project and promotes design ingenuity. And 11, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of lots shall not exceed 301 lots. B, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. C, a multimodal path shall be included on at least one side of all streets. D, street lighting shall be included throughout the subdivision. The location of all street lights shall be shown on the final site plan. E, all entrances, intersections, roadway improvements, and multimodal facilities required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant as required by DLDOT. F, all amenities shall be clearly shown on the final site plan, and they shall be open and available to use by residents prior to the construction of the second phase of the development. G, the project shall be served by a publicly regulated central sewer system defined by the county ordinance and shall be incorporated into a regional wastewater treatment system if at all possible. The operation of the sewer system shall be subject to Delaware Public Service Commission and all applicable state and county regulations. H, the project shall be served by central water. I, stormwater management, erosion, and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements and shall be operated using best management practices to provide groundwater recharge. J, no wetlands shall be included within any lots. Wetlands shall be maintained as non-disturbance areas except where authorized by federal or state permit. K, all reforestation areas shall be shown on a landscape plan submitted as part of the final site plan review process. In addition, as required by the approvals of subdivision number 2005-24 on the site, the proposed conservation easement area shall specifically be referenced on the final site plan. L, the applicant shall form a homeowners association to be responsible for the maintenance of the streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. M, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. N, because the project will be for moderate income families, additional tot lots shall be included within the site. The location of these tot lights shall be spread throughout the project and shown on the final site plan. O, the commercial areas associated with this RPC approval shall be clearly shown on the final site plan. The proposed uses of these areas shall be limited to the permitted uses identified in B1 zoning districts and for the display and sale of manufactured homes. P, areas to be used as a DART bus stop and school bus shelter, with parking for 5 vehicles shall be set aside near the entrance to the project. The areas for the bus stops shall be constructed at the time the Delta entrance is also constructed. Q is required by the approval of subdivision number 2005-24 on this site. A fence shall be installed on the east side of the project as stated by the applicant and shown on the final site plan. R, the buffer areas shall be clearly marked on the site and the location and type of markers shown on the final site plan. In addition, the restrictive covenants and any lot leases must contain a notice describing the buffers and prohibiting any disturbance of them. S, the setbacks for lots for single-family manufactured homes shall be 12 feet from the front yard, 10 feet for the side yards, 5 feet for the rear yards. The setbacks for lots with double-wide manufactured homes or stick-built homes shall be 25 feet from the front yard, 5 feet from the side yards, and 10 feet from the rear yards. In addition, the project must comply with any more stringent setback or separation requirements established by the Delaware State Fire Marshal. T, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District. And U, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. For the benefit council, there was a question at the council public hearing on October 9. On December 14th, I forwarded response from the applicant in reference to this application. The question by council whether the type of use is proposed for that commercial area. In summary, the permitted uses of the request, a building or land shall be used for the following purposes: trailer, mobile home, and or manufactured home sales and storage, and to be parked a minimum of 40 feet from the front property line. That would be the same as what is required by code in any other commercial site for that purpose. A bank, drive-in, or otherwise, so long as the driveway space shall be provided off-street for all vehicles waiting for drive-in service, barbershop or beauty salons, clinics, medical offices, and counseling offices, dry cleaning, laundry establishment, laundromat, or self-service dry cleaning, filling station subject to the following conditions and requirements, one being a site plan shall be submitted to the commission. Second, design features relative to access to public roads shall be approved by DLDOT. C, the minimum lot size is 14,000 square feet. The minimum lot depth is 100. The minimum lot width is 120. The minimum distance between gas pumps and all accessory equipment and facilities and any public roadway line is 20 foot. Again, that's right from the ordinance. Hydraulic hoist, service pits, and all lubrication, greasing, repair and washing equipment must be entirely enclosed within buildings. H, a solid fence or wall at least 6 foot high must be erected along all property lines adjoining the residential district. Such fence or wall shall on the side property line terminate 20 feet from the front property line. Exterior lighting must not cause glare hazardous to passing motorists or annoying to adjacent property owners. Wrecked, junked, or stripped vehicles in an inoperable condition are prohibited. All waste petroleum products must be stored in underground tanks. Parking of utility trailers and or small trucks for rent must be a minimum distance of 25 feet from any roadway. They propose the possibility of flower shops and greenhouses incidental thereto. Hospitals and clinics for small animals, offices, general business, or professional, private club, lodges, or meeting halls, restaurant, drive-in, or otherwise, shops for the sale, service, or repair of home appliance, office machine, electrical, and television and repair equipment, stores and shops for the conduct of retail businesses, which is pretty open and lengthy, convenience store with or without car wash, total gross floor area of any building or group of buildings shall be less than 75,000 square feet. As far as accessory uses, there would be any accessory use permitted in an AR1 district. Storage of office supplies or merchandise normally carried in stock in connection with a permitted office, business, or commercial use subject to applicable district regulations. And conditional uses that could be applied for would be a public or governmental building, public utilities or public service uses, buildings, generating or treatment plants, pumping and regulator stations, substation and transmission lines utilizing multi-leg structures, and then the residential, business, commercial, or industrial use when the purpose of B1 or more fully met. And lastly, they list the permitted signs based on a B1 zoning classification. So basically, they quoted the ordinance as what's permitted in B1. So
verbatim.
Yeah. Hated to read it to you, but that's what he submitted.
So to help me understand then, is that you're just saying what's allowed under the B1 commercial portion of this is what you're saying, if I understand.
What I just read is
correct,
pretty much
exactly.
What's permitted
nothing,
in B1.
And nothing more, unless he has to go for a condition under that, maybe for a government building.
It's basically the same conditions that are in the B1 as conditional use.
How large is this area they're talking about for the commercial?
They have a total of, I don't have the plot in front of it here, but let me see.
Get a Walmart in there?
They had a total of 301 lots proposed, was that right?
Mm-hmm.
They would have 3.01 acres of commercial area.
3 acres.
Basically.
Well, you know, I've seen in the past where a lot of these RPCs, they get that commercial component and it never was viable because there's just not enough people in the area to do anything, and we create these little pockets. And also in this road, one of the major arterial...
It's a major collector.
Major collector for the area.
Route 16.
It is the AR1 district, right?
Mm-hmm.
The AR1, with a subdivision approval, it's still valid, and they've applied for the RPC GR to allow for mobile single wide and double wide.
The current subdivision that's approved there doesn't have any commercial.
No,
we don't have any. So we're adding this commercial. And that's the thing that concerns me. We got a major roadway that feeds the beaches and is heavily traveled, and it's one of the sections that, you know, traffic does move a little bit on those busy weekends. So, but the display of manufactured homes, that's not permitted in the B1 district, is it?
No, but you don't get a B1 zoning. You get the uses that they request based on B1,
right.
And they specifically reference, since it's AR, and it's a GR RPC proposal,
right,
that they would include single and double-wide manufactured home display.
Right.
Which would be permitted in the RPC.
Right, but I'm just saying that the display of it is not displaying of anything, cars, whatever, in permitted
not in, B1,
in the B1 district. Right?
But you're not rezoning the property to B1.
Right. So it's the commercial element that, you know, concerns me about the project. And 3 acres out there. What's closest? What else is closer or close to it?
Nothing.
A gas station
nothing.
Across the street.
That little gas station?
It's way out in the boonies.
Is it still operate?
The closest, well, you can call it a business activity, is actually DelDot, which is...
Oh, I know. Yeah.
It's halfway between Milton and Ellendale.
then you go to the Milton intersection of 16 and 30. You have a package store.
Right, at that intersection.
Industrial
right.
operation on the opposite catty corner to that.
Right.
And then you go towards Ellendale, and you get the reference I made in the previous hearing was a gentleman relocated his trucking business, and then you get into Ellendale.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, the commercial element concerns me on if we're, you know, trying to plan and keep traffic moving, and concerns about major roadways to and from getting people in and out of the coastal area. It looks like we're doing spots. In the AR district, I mean, when we do commercial applications and stuff, aren't they supposed to complement the ag community? I mean, none of this stuff is really ag related or ag, you know.
RPCs aren't supposed to complement ag.
Pardon me?
RPCs aren't supposed to complement ag, are they?
Well, it's an ag district.
It's
currently zoned AR, right? AR1.
The current zone is AR1.
Right, it's an AR. And is there any...
Proposal is to rezone a GR with RPC overlay.
Right. But we're talking...
Reynolds Pond Road to the rear, or to the north, I should say. There's a manufactured home park and several individual lots with mobile homes.
Well, I'm not questioning that.
There's housing all along the rest of the Reynolds Pond Road.
Again, my concern is just the commercial element of this application just seems out of place. I don't mind the community.
Any more questions from Mr. Lang?
I don't worry about that, but the thing is, would we be able to widen that road if necessary, the way this is being built? What kind of leeway would we have as far as if DelDOT had to widen that area?
I would hate to say about the same way they do any other road.
Are we preparing for that in the future?
Get the easements, or they go through the procedure of condemnation and take the right one?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we're really, in our code, we're not really preparing in any way for that, are we?
No, not our setbacks.
Not technically.
Mm-hmm. The setbacks by code are 40 foot.
40 feet,
from the public road.
Yes, uh-huh.
The setback by, if they did a taking of 10 or 20 additional feet, then the setback moves to that 40 foot into the parcel,
mm-hmm.
based on whatever they take, the setback changes.
Is the reason for the display of the manufactured homes to help sell them for the people that are going to be moving into that subdivision, was that part of the...
That would be the intent, because the intent of the project is to do singles, single, double wides, and or stick built homes. Right. So it could be modular. So
I just hate to see, after it's all built out, that we sit there with a mobile home display park sitting there, and most of those mobile home display parks are on 113, 13, and roads like that. And we don't have them sitting out there like, is there a way that we could put a time frame that, when the community is built out, that the manufactured housing display, ceases? Because it's not permitted in B1 district. I just think it seems to be totally out of place.
You would have to add a condition that references just what you said, Mr. Cole.
Right, in what one
of it? Once the project is fully developed, the mobile home sales lot.
Because otherwise we have a lot of traffic.
Home sales lot would be deleted.
Otherwise we have a lot of traffic in and out of there.
They're having a conference down here at the other end.
Are they?
Well, I wouldn't mind making, Mr. President, I would maybe make an amendment to, again, the commercial app part of this application concerns me, primarily because of that it's a two-lane road, and what's permitted in a B1 district and what's permitted in the agricultural district, you can't do the display of manufactured homes. So I can understand it while they're building the project, but after it's all said and done, is that what you want to see on this stretch of road out in the middle of nowhere? Manufactured housing, display area. So I would like to put some kind of restriction that once the community is built out, that the manufactured housing display would then cease to be permitted.
Is that a motion?
There's one area, and one of the conditions of approval, states that commercial areas associated with this RPC approval shall be clearly shown on the final site plan. The proposed uses for these areas shall be limited to the permitted uses identified for B1 zoning districts and for the display and sale of manufactured homes. So if you would add, that would be the appropriate place to add.
Yeah, if you could.
So it's in the same paragraph, basically.
Right, yeah, I'll second that motion for purpose of taking a vote.
All right.
You want to read, Mr. Moore, what it's going to say?
The commercial areas associated with this RPC approval shall be clearly shown on the final site plan. The proposed uses for these areas shall be limited to the permitted uses identified for B1 zoning districts and for the display and sale of manufactured homes. No mobile home display lots shall be allowed after the lots are sold.
After the final lots or something. I mean,
yeah.
You somehow, lots, just right. at the build out, I mean,
definitive.
It may take years to build that out.
After the final lots are sold.
But it will go away eventually at some point.
But then the B1 district would remain, there would be a B1 application still permitted there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
One thing that affects really is that.
Just mobile, right. Which is totally out of character, I think, for the.
Okay, we have a motion, Mr. Cole.
I know. I have another question. I'm sorry. I know Vance is hungry, but I'm just going to make it quick. He said that it's going to be served by central sewer and water. Is he talking about the artesian plant? Or then he goes on to talk about a possibility of having to build a sewer system. So I don't know what they're talking about there.
I can't answer that question. Uh-huh. I assume that that's what it would have been, the artesian site.
Yeah.
Rumors of Georgetown going out to to extend from the Ellendale site.
So there's a lot going on in the upcoming.
But they would have to show that information before they can get final approval. We'd have to know who the handler is going to be.
Okay.
That'll be a condition.
Take care of that.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Cole, second Mr. Phillips, to amend the conditions as Mr. Moore read.
And that was condition O.
Any questions on the motion?
I do have a question on the motion.
Yes, ma'am.
This is not something that's in the code. It's just me worrying the fact that there'd be no transfer tax.
Could you lean forward towards your microphone, please?
It's not in the code and wouldn't be part of my vote, but I worry that there'd be no income for the county to provide paramedics, fire people, and fire service, and the other emergency services. There's no transfer tax there.
Well, this is a subdivision.
Yes.
All right. So we're not selling. What are we selling?
The lots can be sold out. They can also.
But I don't
be
think
leased.
That's the plan.
He told us. It is approved at a subdivision. Lots can be sold or
they
leased.
Can be sold. Yes. But that's not what he told us he planned to do. He said that he was going to lease those buildings to the folks. They were going to lease their building and the lot.
No, I'm just saying design-wise, it's a subdivision. He could lease or sell the lot.
I'm just looking for the income.
No,
any more questions on the motion? We'll take a vote on the motion. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes. I think planning and zoning did a good job on this, and I like it with the amendment. They were talking about the amendment now?
On the amendment only.
On the amendment. The amendment's good, yes.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I vote no. I think planning and zoning had it right, and altering that would just take away commerce opportunity for the applicant.
Not voting.
What?
Sam's not voting.
Sam's not voting. I'll vote no, too. But the motion is defeated because of not enough votes. Correct, Mr. Moore?
Correct.
Okay.
Can we read the title?
Read the title.
Okay. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a GRRPC general residential district residential planned community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 154.90 acres, more or less, tax map ID number 2-35-5-5 and 235-13-2, along with conditions A through U, as read by Mr. Lankins, contained in pages 10 and 11 of the council handout.
Contain a motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. To approve change of zone 1721 with the conditions as read. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Well, I don't like the idea of the commercial, the idea of commercially selling the units, the mobile homes out there, and that could go on forever, ad infinitum. I'd much rather see that place developed as it was originally approved as a subdivision. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's not near any kind of services whatsoever. We're talking about something way off in the future that will happen someday. And I don't like the idea of that particular commercial use there, and I'm voting against it.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes with the conditions.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote yes. I think we all got a good lesson on the importance of fair and affordable housing recently, and we got a lesson on what could happen if we overturn planning and zoning's recommendation on projects that promote affordable housing. I think in the future we're going to have to be very, very careful denying these projects, especially if they've been approved by planning and zoning. I think this is a good project. I think it does provide plenty of opportunity for jobs and commerce. I'll vote yes.
Are we going to regulate what he charges?
We're taking a vote, please.
Okay.
Mr. Wilson.
I would vote yes, but I was not to the hearing, so I cannot vote. I'm excusing myself.
You're not voting.
Okay. I'll vote yes with the conditions as planning and zoning approves. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
think my point was that we're having a problem with people living in mobile home parks with the high rents. It's just not affordable.
A little courtesy, Ms. Deaver, while people are voting would be in order, I think.
Well, probably you're
not
right.
Your time. It's not
you
time to argue,
right.
Really.
I have a question, Mrs. Webb. Thank you.
Thank you. First one today, American Legion Post 19. For their Veterans Day Parade.
That's for a...
It's for a Veterans Day Parade in the town of Laurel.
And they're waiting, I guess, people across the county or something, or what's it? Do I understand that right?
Yes. Anybody can participate in the parade, or any veteran organizations can participate.
They specifically called me and made a point that this was going to be for veterans all over the county. All the other veteran organizations are being invited.
Yep.
And I'd like to make a motion that we give $200 from each account.
I have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second to grant $200 from each councilmatic account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Seaford Clarence Street Church of God for their Community Day.
Yeah, that's we granted. That was for me last year. What was that? $250.
Yes. $250.
Yeah. Let's make a motion to grant $250 from my account.
So moved.
I have a motion and second to grant $250 from my account for the Clarence Street Church of God for their annual Community Day expenses. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried.
New Zion United Methodist for their basketball fundraiser.
And that is from?
It's Laurel.
Laurel.
To Mr. Vincent.
Okay, was that a previous grant?
Yes, it was $300. $150 Wilson, Mr. Wilson, Mr. Phillips.
From Laurel?
Yes.
Probably $150, Mr. Ultimately, me, I would
okay.
imagine.
Okay, I'll make that motion to grant $150 from Mr. Vincent and $150 from my account.
I'll second it.
A motion to second. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
How about yes? Motion carried.
We skip down to the West Side New Beginnings.
Yes, they, is this the second time for that, or?
We've given them a variety of grants.
What was the amount that,
We've done 1,000.
Oh, that's yours, George.
Done 1,500.
What are they requesting it for this time?
They're doing a six-week summer program.
Right, for the kids.
For 35 kids.
Right.
For mentoring and tutoring.
Was there a figure in there at all, number?
They did not have a figure.
I'll give them $1,000.
Oh, that's very
motion,
nice.
Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips. Grant $1,000 from Mr. Cole's account to the West Side in the beginning for children and youth programs. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
And the Laurel Extension site for the Western Sussex Boys and Girls Club?
I'd like to give $500 from my account and $500 from Mr. Vincent's account.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second to grant Laurel Boys and Girls Club Extension Youth Programs $500 from Mr. Phillips and $500 from my account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried.
And the Western Sussex Farmers Market.
And that was last year was?
Last year was 500, year, right? 400 from Mr. Vincent, 100 from Mr. Phillips. They're requesting 800.
Okay.
Sound like they didn't make no money last year. They need more money this year.
The same thing they give me. That's okay. That's up to you. Okay.
I'll make a motion to grant the same amounts.
Okay.
$400 for mine and $100 for Mr. Phillips, but for a total of $500. Any questions on the motion?
No.
Take the vote, Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
But yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Moore, any proposed zoning ordinances?
Yes, there are several, Mr. Vincent. First is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to modify the boundaries of existing conditional use number 1699, that's ordinance number 1936, for a go-kart track to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 3.24 acres more or less, tax map ID 2-35-6-10 and 10.5 is District 3.
Oh, is that going to be next to your house or no? Just I'll introduce it.
The D reintroduces it.
And the second one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a landscaping business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 0.997 acre, more or less, tax map ID 2-34-11-56.09 in District 4.
I'll introduce it.
Cole introduces it.
And the last one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a composting facility as an extension to conditional use number 1314 and conditional use number 1691, a micronutrient plant with related truck entrance and rail spur for the processing and handling of poultry litter to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 228.88 acres, more or less, tax map ID 1-32-6-88.01 and 95, and tax map ID 132-11-41, District 1.
Mr. President, before we introduce that, could I ask that representatives of this applicant be allowed to come forward? They have a request, which is a bit unique. We spoke with Lawrence, or our planning and zoning director, Lank, about it. It may require council consideration.
Sure.
If in the title, I was told I said Broadkill instead of Broad Creek 100. I'd like to correct that. Secondly, I would believe that any request is not something that's on the agenda, and if it's any discussion for action by the council, would be out of order.
It may not require a vote by council. It's for more for informational purposes.
Is that information okay?
I would still indicate that this is the time where we introduce ordinances, and an ordinance has been read, and it would be either introduced or not.
Okay. We can allow them to come up during additional business?
Yes.
Okay. They have waited patiently since 9:45.
I'll introduce it. Now we'll go to initial business brought before council?
Yes, please.
And make sure they get signed up, please, Mr. Guy.
Good. We're pumping.
Okay. We'll start Sue Claire Harper. Come forward, please. You get 3 minutes to talk to us.
I thank you. I am Sue Claire Harper. I'm a new resident of Rehoboth Beach, and I'm just making a comment on the presentation by Dean Swengel, chairman of the board of the Sussex Preparatory Academy.
Who?
The Sussex Preparatory Academy, the school.
Yes.
The earlier comment, presentation.
Can you speak into the mic and be a little bit plainer? I can't quite get it.
I'm sorry?
Can you speak into the mic and be just a little plainer? I can't quite get it.
Surely. Should I start again? I am Sue Claire Harper. I am a resident of Rehoboth Beach.
Okay.
New resident, and I'm commenting about the earlier presentation by the chairman of the board of the Sussex Preparatory Academy. I am unfamiliar with the rationale for charter schools. However, I'm a firm supporter of public education, and in my prior residence in New Jersey was involved for over 30 years as PTO president in both the elementary and the high school in which I lived. In the presentation on the Sussex economy, the picture suggested and subsequent comments appear to confirm that the academy is at least 90% Caucasian. I don't know what your proportion of your minority population is in Sussex County, but I believe it's greater than 10% is my observation. From experience, I can attest that minority students and their parents are far less likely to avail themselves of educational opportunities than their fellow, more privileged Caucasian counterparts. This is often the result, in my experience and with various research, of less than positive experiences when the parents were in school, or often the result of ignorance as to how to maximize opportunities available, despite the solicitations that were mentioned in the earlier presentation. Thus, the basis of publication for all talented, bright students in classrooms open to all raise the performance of their fellow students. When my children were in school, I was very grateful for the brightest and the best to be in the class because my kids rose to the occasion, as did their fellow students. You parents probably have found the same. When a system skims the most talented students from the population and isolates them from struggling students, the entire population suffers. It results in de facto segregation. Based on experience, I would suggest that the county provide more equitable funding for all school districts. I was astounded to find when I moved to Rehoboth that the tax assessment hadn't been done since, I believe it was 1976. I found that incredible. So that all schools can achieve educational goals outlined in the presentation of the Sussex Academy. I further suggest, and I don't know what the history of this is, it's just from based on my experience in New Jersey, that a move toward countywide supervisory education board to keep standards standardized across the board for all students, and I thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Dan Kramer. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Dan Kramer. A couple of weeks ago, you spent money for these fobs. And I want to know, do these things also apply, not just to this building, but to West Complex and at the 9/11 Center and at the sewage treatment plants? Are you going to have these fobs? And what about the department heads that are leaving for 2 hours and going on lunch breaks for 2 hours? Are you going after them too? Now, the next thing, you're going to have a couple guys come up here on a land use issue that was just introduced. I got a little advice for you. If I as much as see a consensus vote or a discussion, I will have you tell you, you will have the biggest FOIA complaint you ever had. Now, I guarantee you. God advise you, be careful.
Mrs. Margaret Folk. Margaret Folk. F-O-U-L-K-E. Am I pronounce that wrong? Or okay.
What's the left? You got toward a week.
John Sergovic.
For the record, I'm John Sergovic, an attorney here in Georgetown. We had written a letter to the county council on March the 4th of 2013 in conjunction with the application that was just introduced And perhaps we can't do it for this particular application, but the county may want to consider adopting procedures whereby an applicant, particularly when they have new technology being proposed for a land use, that they be able to test their technology on site as part of the hearing process. And I'm not asking for a vote on that today, but my client does have a new technology. We ask that we could do a test of the technology on site for the benefit of both presentation in the public hearings as well as information to the public. I'm not asking the county to do something on this particular application today, but you may want to consider that in the future.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Wayne Hudson.
My name is Wayne Hudson. I'm with Purdue Agribusiness. In conjunction with what John spoke about, we have been introduced with some new technology that we believe is one that works well in the composting operation. We would like to try and run basically a pilot test at this facility. And just to explain the pilot is strictly one pile of compost that we would mix on one day, cover it that day, and then we would wait 4 weeks. We would come back, take the cover off, turn it, and then cover it again for an additional 2 weeks. And then we would leave it uncovered for 2 weeks. And during that process, we would want and encourage members of the council, members of the public, members of DENREC, and everybody to come and see how this process works. It's a new concept of composting, considered in-vessel composting, utilizing a new technology. And we want to be able to prove it so that people can see, touch, feel, and smell and see exactly what this is going to be before we went full scale with it. So it is a very small operation that we were wanting to propose.
Thank you very much. And I entertain a motion now to go to executive session for personnel, pending potential litigation, and land acquisition.
Could I?
Hold on a minute, Mr. Phillips.
At what point would it be appropriate for me to ask the county administrator to put on next week's agenda a discussion about the possibility of allowing that pilot project to go forward?
Right now, that's fine, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You might want to also follow up on that. Check with DNREC about any permits, Department of Agriculture, to bring them into this discussion, mm-hmm. because I think that they may need a permit from them to do whatever it is they want to do. Who knows? But anyway, you might want to have some testimony about whether they need it or not.
Sure. That's a logical question. Yeah.
Okay.
Now I entertain a motion. Go to executive session for personnel, pending potential litigation, and land acquisition.
I'll make
a motion. Second. Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion?
I want a motion.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carried. We're now going to the executive session.